Well, welcome everybody to another week that is the Hour of Truth, and once I get all the buttons set, we'll be ready to go. There you go. That echo should be gone now. So I have in studio Phil Walthall and the Harry from the North, John Squires. And online, I have James Utzler out there in Georgia. What's the name of the place? Elberton, something like that?
I think Elberton, yeah. Where are you from, James?
Yep, that's it.
Something like that. Well, welcome to another Hour of Truth. I'm hoping for the best. So, it is, by mutual consent, it is open season on James. So, I believe all three of us decided that was...
All three in agreement, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Does that mean I have to speak, Paul?
That would be...
Actually, if you get the right perspective there, James, if you're the one being picked on, then you're the one that doesn't have to speak. So it's a win-win.
That's very true. Thank you.
You know, that's how I would look at it. You know what I'm saying? Happy, happy, happy.
How is that any different than any other time?
What are you trying to say?
Just sit back and hang in there, James. There actually might be more words coming from this than usual now that I'm, you know.
Provoking one another to love and good works, I take
it. Provoking one another, definitely there.
To love and good works is part we need to get there. I mean,
need to work on that, huh?
Yeah, need to work on that one a little bit.
You're not coming in. It's working out bad. Yeah, no, it's definitely. Maybe there's a feature in that. We should change it to the Hour of Provocation. I bet you that give me long enough, I can make somebody or put plenty of people mad.
You used to be very good at that.
I probably am. That's the closest thing I have to natural ability.
Well... That necessarily doesn't have anything to do with you. But the person.
I don't know. I've been pretty good at this all my life.
Yeah, I hear you. But in the sense of... Well, you know, look. If you say something and I get mad and all offended about it, apparently there's an issue with me.
Oh, that's going to be what I maintain, whether it's, you know, true or not. Come on.
But you see what I'm saying there in that sense? I mean, then it's, if I'm getting offended and bent out of shape over something you're saying, then I got an issue here, man.
True.
Not necessarily you, but me.
Well, and that's my position all along. That's all I'm saying. Every time somebody is angry at me, it's their problem. Doesn't that work?
I know. I wouldn't go there and say that.
There's a sense of hopelessness there.
I mean, I was
just agreeing with you, boy.
I'm talking about that. Should be the person of the receiving it. I mean, the person giving. I don't know.
I had fun with that. It's a shame that I have to explain that, but I probably do because I don't really think that. But what are you playing with the pig noise? Key ring for?
I'm spastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What Anybody got anything about some of the stuff that we've heard in the last two services, that which we have heard in the last two services?
I do wanted to I want to listen to all of Steve's. I caught the end of Steve's there.
It was so dead on
just how we are. In that vein, I mean, I remember, you know, I was talking to you about, and I was talking kind of there up this at the service today about you reminding me of a time of putting up that antenna, and at that time, and I was talking about how simple it was, and it brought back the simplicity of the gospel to play, and I just remember how joyous that was for me to do stuff like that for you. I remember that I find that the greatest joy at that time. I think that time I was staying with Rick and Sue's, but I remember when I was first coming back around, I was living in Mount Pleasant at the time, and I wasn't in the best of circumstances, but you know, I didn't even really see the circumstance that much of when at that time I'd just come over here and hang out with my stepfather and do some things, and it was just the most joyous time. I remember it clearly. We'd stay up late, and he worked nights, and so he'd have his night off, and I'd come over on Friday night and hang out. But it brought back the simplicity of the gospel, and that was just a joyous time to me. And it brought back that the love that the Lord had. And it just brought that's how it needs to be now. You know, what Steve was kind of honing in on was just that, in the sense of when it's all about the Lord and a service to the Lord and how to minister to others, and you determine that in your heart and He blesses you in that. That was a cool thing that he was saying. But when we're all about ourselves, then everything gets complex, everything gets, you know, when we're all about ourselves, everything is complex, everything seems hopeless, everything seems, you know, all these things, and that's just not, that's not the gospel. You know,
the tendency is that need to be complicated person, that need to be, you know, complex is just the flesh usurping, enforcing control by using the things you have, you know, worked through as a place to justify itself, and it is part of the old Pharisaical order. The whole appeal of the religion to them was that they got to look religious. And the more of their stuff, more of their traditions of men they enforced on themselves and on others, the more pious they looked, the more religious they looked, the more faithful to their office.
It's all about themselves.
All about themselves and looking for. And the simplicity of the gospel is that it's not about our ability or inability to look or even be worthy. It is about our ability to confess that we're not worthy. And that we trust, therefore, in Jesus' worthiness, Jesus' righteousness, to cover up and make up that difference for us.
So, it's His blood that's sufficient.
That's right.
Amen. And it's by serving other people that we show that love of Christ in us and extend it unto those we minister to. A minister is serving other people. That's what ministering is.
Yeah, the word, I think the word minister is servant, if I'm correct, and ministering is a service to. I mean, when you look at, I remember Ricky telling me that, because I didn't really know what the word minister was years ago. And but you know, one of the examples is, remember when Jesus comes and he heals Peter's mother-in-law, I believe it is. And she goes, and she was sick of a fever. And Jesus came and he healed her. And it says, the scripture says, and she rose up and ministered unto them. That ministered was she served them, you know, fed them or whatever it may be that they did. She did. I don't know. Just said ministered. She served them somehow. But that's what that is. And, you know, when you know, Steve was talking about when Jesus didn't come down and you know, hey, bow down, worship me. No, he came down to serve others unto the point of death. And when that perspective, when you determine to serve the Lord like that, I mean, it's a very simple choice. I mean, all that other stuff goes away. I mean, I know I get caught up and can get overwhelmed very easily. You know, I got this going on, I got that going on, I get that. And if I get into that place, I lost it all. Do you know what I mean? I lose perspective of the whole thing, and it becomes that it becomes, you know, where, you know, the scripture says, you know, because it's not a burden. You know, and then when I get to place, I got this going on, I need to get this done, I need to get this done. All I am is making these things a burden. And I'm missing all that the Lord has for others. Because when I'm in that mindset, I'm making it all about myself and not a service to the Lord. I'm making it all about myself and not a service to the Lord. And then, but when it becomes, when you bring in just the concept of it's all the Lord's, and you make that determination to serve others and looking to minister unto others, that's the whole mindset changes. It's a joy to do those things. It's just like it was years ago, and I'd come over, or the times had passed, and I'd come over and do these things and just spend time with you. And that was a joy. That was a great joy. And we can very easily miss it all.
I was one of the times in church they were talking about tithing, and they were talking about not only tithing in money but also tithing your time. So if you give 10% of your time, the concept is, like, say you work 40 hours a week, let's give 4 hours of our week to the Lord. You know, if you go to church on Sunday and you go to Sunday school, go to prayer meeting, attend a Bible study, then that's it. Then maybe 10% of you will be saved. And Jesus Christ died for us and paid for us. He deserves all of us, not just 10% or whatever we can give. Each and every moment of the day, we should be serving Him. If we're at the job, we should be serving our Master. Whatever we do, we should be serving Jesus.
Amen, exactly. I mean, it doesn't say, hey, you're a minister on Sunday. No, you're a minister 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
David was talking to about, or maybe Steve was talking to about, he wanted to be able to quit work and become a full-time minister. Steve's response was, why aren't you a full-time minister now?
Now, exactly.
Who said you had to quit work to be a full-time minister?
You minister at work, you minister at home, you minister at when time off, that's what you do.
The Lord got you. That's where you ministered.
Yep.
Ask this one. He's been doing that in spite of the massive number of hours, you know, as opposed to, you know, everybody thinks if I have a 40-hour work week, I think he would think he was on vacation if he only had a 40-hour work week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember when I was working at Walmart, my fight was to get a 40-hour work week. They wanted to pay everybody under 40 every week. And they were happiest if it was 32. I don't know, some kind of something or other that they're not committed to if they can keep you under 32 hours a week. But,
you know, but Paul, I remember the time, I mean, Paul worked, you worked night shift though. Yeah. I mean, but you know, you would see Paul diligently coming to service and diligent going to the Bible studies, and it would be, I mean, you can see that that wasn't an easy thing. that wasn't an easy thing for him because his sleep was so, schedule was so off. And, you know, he'd have the services and all these things, and he would come to the services with that night shift going on. I remember that this time.
I never remember Paul having a sleep schedule.
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, I mean, it was like when he caught
it's
some.
Wednesday is my sleep day. That's pretty much the schedule.
And then he had this punk behind kid move in with him in the midst of this that worked a day job. It was something else. But we had a good time. We had a good time.
Yeah, everybody,
sometimes.
I lost my mind by agreeing to that, but I pretty much had. That's all I'm saying.
But, you know, speaking on that, what scripture came to mind, and I hope I can find it. And you know what? I'm going to shut up till I do find it, because I'm just going to look at it, pass it off, because we were talking about ministering 24 hours, and I remember Jesus talking about, because of his opportunity, he'll rise up and give him how the guy comes and knocks. I'm going to look that scripture up for the time being. Hopefully I can find it. Or somebody online can type it in.
Paul.
Yes.
You were speaking earlier about something that brought something to my mind, where you were talking about being fighting the spiritual warfare, not a carnal warfare, and being spiritually minded. And it made me think about how much of that, I'll take myself for example, of my day do I spend walking after the flesh. And our flesh is at enmity with God, so it's entirely against him. And if we're walking after the flesh, who are we serving? Satan is at enmity with God. We're serving Satan when we're not walking after the Spirit.
Well, that is really true, but you know, there we go.
Go. Okay. Well, yeah, and as he was talking up there, and I was talking about starts here in my own heart. And you, Paul, you mentioned when you got up there, it's like some of us come to the fight, to a gunfight with a knife.
Yeah.
And how many times, and I'm looking at this, I mean, and you know, I'm looking at this, and that's the other thing that was, you know, brought back to my remembrance. How many times do we go to that gunfight with a knife? And the Lord has given us everything we need. He's already won the battle. Let's walk in that victory that He has. And then when we go and we choose the Lord to serve Him that day, do we fully choose Him? I mean, do we go to that gunfight with a knife, you know? I mean, or do we actually war against it? Do we set in our hearts, in our mind, and make that choice to go and serve the Lord? You know, like, flesh, shut up. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I take you, old man, and I cast you down onto the ground. I trodden you under my feet. You know, I mean, how diligently are we in doing that? Or do we just lay down, oh, the flesh is wearing its ugly head, I guess I'll just have to listen to it for a while. Or, oh, that's not really what I'm doing. And we just kind of give heed so easily to the flesh instead of the Spirit. And I look at that and...
That's a flesh rules position.
Exactly. Exactly.
When you give in to that, you're giving in to the conqueror, whether the conqueror be the Spirit or be the flesh. You're giving in to that, therefore you're acquiescing, is surrendering to it.
Yeah. I mean, and how many minutes? I mean, think of Jesus and what he battled through at the garden, at the rock, and where he strove, as it says, striving against sin to the sweating of blood, as he prayed, and he said, not my will be done, but yours. I mean, that's what comes to mind. Are we really making that choice and that stand to serve Him? Or are we just giving heed to the flesh, giving heed to the flesh?
I think that's something that, you know, when I leave the house every morning, I want to leave it with Jesus. I want Him with me. I get up every morning and I pray. I get in my prayer chamber before I go out in the world. That's kind of preparing yourself for what the day is going to throw at you. You gotta be prepared. You gotta immerse yourself in the scripture, the gospel, and your prayer life so you can defeat the enemy. You gotta have the tools necessary to fight him with. Without Jesus, you're gonna be ruled by your flesh and you're gonna be defeated.
How many times do we walk into a situation, you know, thinking we got it all on one side. And the enemy starts, you know, firing. And we're in this situation where we think we all got it all in one sock, and, you know, we do something that we judge as being the thing to do, and doesn't work. So we walk away, and all of a sudden we got a snoot full of attitude about the Lord didn't show up, and you didn't do what He told you to do to begin with.
And you walked in that situation, walking in that situation like, I got this, is going into the situation of in pride and assumption and, you know, presumption and arrogance, and it's not going to work.
One thing about your prayer life, prayer is conversation with the Lord. You got to be able to listen to. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you should be able to listen to His guidance and His direction. That way you're not going to, it's not going to be about you, it's going to be about Him. And you're going to win. If it's going to be about you, you're going to lose. Yeah. Simple as that.
Absolutely right, John.
Did you see David's comment in the chat about your math being off?
I did. I was using the pastor's math.
Wouldn't you love to? Because that would be, there's 168 hours in a week, so 10% of that would be 16.8 hours. That's your other 2 days. I don't see where that's a problem.
But doing that, how much of you is going to be saved? That was my question. You know, my arms, my legs, my toes. What's going to go to heaven? The rest of me is going to go to hell and burn. Ooh.
And you know, it's just, it's all or nothing, John. It's not only percentage on this thing. But it,
that was my point.
I mean, but that is the litmus test.
It would
I mean,
be fun to see. And he would be just as good a person to do it on.
No, we got to have James, the sacrificial lamb.
That's what I'm talking about.
But that is the litmus test. I mean, if your attitude is one of, oh boy, this again. Oh boy, that again. Oh boy, this again. Or man, I got so much going on. Or I mean, all these things. I mean, if it's all. It's all of, I mean, you can just stop yourself right then and there. It hits your knees, and best thing is to get centered with the Lord, making that choice first thing, as Jesus did, with the Lord every morning. It's a joy. And no matter what comes your way, it's a joy. I mean, how did Paul and Silas, when they were kind of reading Acts, how Paul and Silas, they were down there in the prison, praising God. And then what happens is that man, he ministers unto that which was praying, the guy that was praying in Macedonia. And he goes there, they get cast in the prison, in the uttermost parts of the prison, and then they're rejoicing and praising God. You know, because their perspective was all about the Lord, what the Lord had them to do. I mean, so no matter what happens, if our perspective is right.
If they were carnally minded, and they'd be whining and complaining, and oh, woe is me.
They didn't look at
what we do.
Yeah, it's way too often was what I do. I admit to that.
Well, you know,
but that doesn't have to be the case anymore. Praise God for
that
freedom. You know,
where Peter gets sprung, and he goes back to the house and
knocks on the door.
Hey, Peter, let me in.
Peter, Peter's not here, I'm here, man.
We're praying for him now.
Let me in. And she didn't believe it, man. She ran off and you couldn't get anybody to believe it on first. So finally somebody comes out there. Peter, let him in, man. But they were praying and they had the answer to their prayer standing at the gate.
And could not see it.
Could not see it.
How often do we have the answer right there? It's Jesus Christ our Lord, and we cannot see it. If right. We can only rely upon him to enable us to do whatever he wants to do. The answer to our problem. It's right there available to us. We don't see it.
Amen.
Yeah, that's kind of, I'm talking about, the Lord hasn't moved. He's right there. I might be all over the place, but the Lord's right there in the center. But he's going, Phil, you spastic behind him right here. And you know there's nothing sweeter when you grab a hold of that, grab a hold of him.
That's right. That's right. It is. You're going to say something?
Well, there's no greater joy than serving the Lord. There's no greater high than being high in the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you really want to get high, what an awesome God we serve. He gives us all peace, joy. In whatever situation is, he has the answer to it, and he can get us out of it. And it's that assurance, that knowing, that believing that. And as you get older like me, you've been in a lot of situations where you truly needed him, where you were lost and out there, screwed up, messed up, all dirty, filthy, and he had his hand out there reaching for you, wanting to help you. All you had to do is reach out and take it. He is always there for you.
All about for itself.
Let's see if this will work. I am going to play a song. If it'll work, let's see if it will work. Well, it didn't work, so I tried. No, it did not work.
I remember talking, and like you said, his hand's right there, and I remember talking to a fellow, and it was one of those things where I said, look, his grace and his mercy and all those things are right there. It's still right there. It's never moved. It's not ungraspable. And he had been through a bunch of terrible situations, and he had made some choices that kind of put himself in that situation. However, and he was concerned about the choices that he made in the past, and he was concerned about these things, and it was hanging him up pretty badly. I was hanging him up pretty badly. I said, you know, and he was concerned about letting people down, all these things. I said, look, man, so you got to let that go. All that's behind. All that's behind. Right now, you got his grace, you got his mercy, and his forgiveness. It's still right there. It hasn't moved. It hasn't changed. Just got to grab a hold on it. So take it. Get up and walk in it. Repent of those things and move forward in the grace. That's being a good soldier in Jesus Christ, is being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What he has done, what he will do, and what he can do.
Well, oftentimes when we have sinned and repented, but when Jesus Christ forgives our sin, it's forgotten. It's gone. Well, yet, sometimes we want to hang on to it, feel guilty about it. Why can't we just let it go as Jesus did? Be done with it. Put it behind us and move forward. Because the carnal-minded man is going to hang on to that, and it's going to drag him down.
You're absolutely right. And you know, we were kind of here talking a little bit, John, after service, and I said, one of the things is was talking about is keeping that gospel. And he goes, yeah, remember the joy that you had when all those burdens and all those things were washed away? I said, that just needs to be there's no reason why we shouldn't stay in that place. That's where we ought to be staying all the time.
And you see some of these mainstream Christians that they're stern, their mouths are downturned, they're so pious, so righteous, there's no love. You don't see any love in them. Where's the joy? I am so righteous, look at me. Like the Pharisees. Because of trying to obey all these laws and rules and look good to the people, that's just serving the flesh.
The whole, you quoted 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, the charge being from Paul to Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There is... that's the only preparation there is. For the warfare. When you're strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, you know the word. And you can war with it.
Amen.
And it's better than the gun. Better than the grenade. It is the matter to the antimatter mixture of I went into Star Trek. Everybody's eyes start crossing. Come on, you've never seen Star Trek. You have the bigger bang.
Amen.
I mean, that's just the way it is. Carter's probably the only one that's ever going to get that reference and not laugh at me because of it. That's okay. That's all right. I can take it. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then here's the next verse, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Put all that stuff in your provisions bag and you're ready. You're not going to gunfight with a knife. Now you're going to gunfight with a gun. But it's a bigger, badder gun than the enemy's gun.
Amen. And it's the word. Yeah. You know, I mean, one of the things he also tells in Timothy, and one of the ones that we probably quote all the time. And, you know, here's Paul reminding of Timothy. You know, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Or power, love, and a sound mind. But I don't know. I forget which order.
Power, love, and a sound
mind. And you know...
Maybe the third thing comes along later.
Power, love, and a sound mind. What's that? I'm you're confusing me. But that's okay. No, you know what? You're not confusing me. I'm just...
You were confused.
Yeah, there you go.
Self-confused.
I was just agreeing.
Power, love, and sound mind. But what comes against us so much? I mean, fear. I mean, what comes... I mean, fear of not getting these things. I mean, fear of not getting this. No, fear of this. Fear of that. Fear of this. But you take the word and uses it against that carnal mind. Lord hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Use the word. Use the word.
Power, love, and a sound mind.
Yep.
The other thing is, you can tell when you haven't, when you come into a situation and you haven't, your attitude's not right. You're not packing the weapons that the Lord provided for you. It looks like verse 4, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of his life to make please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's just all a bunch, whole bunch of justifications there about, well, you know, I wasn't ready for this thing because I had this, the car, you know, my car not running right, and I had to take it, or, you know, whatever thing. There's something else that, there's always an excuse. There's always an excuse. And if you're somebody who's quick with an excuse, but not quick with a yes, sir, right away, then you're entangled. You're entangled with stuff you ought not to be entangled with. The stuff in the world is ruling your life, and you've become a thermometer rather than a thermostat. You're not in control of anything. It just happened to you.
The yes or no problem is something you learn in the Army. And one of the things they do in basic training is they break you down. So the only thing you want to do is serve that whomever has authority over you, that drill sergeant. Whatever he says, you do immediately. And I know Steve has spoken about this. When the Holy Spirit moves on you to do a thing, do it immediately. If you're in a firefight in the Army and you want to debate the issue, that's not the time to debate the issue and say, let's take a vote on it. You have to react immediately, or you or someone else will die. Someone's very life may depend upon what you do. So being a good soldier, when you're told to do a thing, do it. Right then and there.
You know, you're using the Army, which I don't have that experience. But I do have some experience just in the workplace, and we're very, very busy. Very busy. And you can see when we're following orders and following the plan that is set up to handle customers, to get the cars turned over, to do the, you can see when we're following it, things get kicked out, things get done, things work. But when we're not following that, oh my goodness, it's an absolute disaster, chaotic mess that does not work. That does not work. But when we follow that which we are told to do, and do it how we're told to do it, it works. It's an amazing thing. I mean, it's no different in the Lord.
Well,
no different in the Lord.
Isn't that how the body of Christ is supposed to act?
That's right.
You know, we're supposed to be as one, you know, the Jesus being the head.
Amen.
And it can only work if we obey.
You done?
I was just going to say, and we'll only know. I mean, we'll, you know, we'll only hear His commandment if we're walking after the Spirit.
Okay. I was just concerned where you were going to go with that. So when you were saying, of course, I don't have that Army experience to back anything up with, but I have military experience on this video game.
Who, me?
Or I have been. Yeah, I got Call of Duty. I'm just saying.
You just run around like an idiot shooting whoever you can. I mean, that's how that goes.
Right. Well, that's a lot of what people would perceive our military as. There's people going around shooting people like idiots.
I do tell you, though, there's people that go online on that video game, and they join parties, and they're like, all right, we're going to go do this, and they follow a plan. And then they execute nicely, and then you get killed a lot, and then you just jump out of that one and go find people that just run around because they kill you fast.
how do you think the guys in the field would fare if, when they called for an evac, you didn't go until you felt like it?
They'd probably shoot me when I got there. No, you go. If you're serving And when I was in Vietnam, I did everything I could for that guy on the ground. You know, if it was in there in the middle of the night and he was sick or something, I would be there. If he needed ammo, whatever he needed, I was there to provide it for him. And I did that 24 hours a day. I mean, I got some time off. I got one day off a month when I was over there. And even then, sometimes I had to fly. But, you know, you brought them their mail, you brought them into the field, you took them out of the field. We were like their lifeline. And they wouldn't feel very well if we didn't show up when they needed us.
Well, people would die if you didn't, John.
That's right. Or I'd die if I didn't. And I'm alive.
All right. Dave said he couldn't hear me when I'm talking. I'm hoping the mic is putting out like it's supposed to. It looked like it was. And working within the limitations of the voice, that's it is. It is how it is. military is a definite. It's something that if you have familiarity with, you can understand the distribution of jobs in the kingdom of God and
line of authority.
You have also an understanding about how being prompt and instant in doing following orders, you know, difference between life and death in the army. A difference between sometimes life and death in the kingdom, sometimes difference between blessings and curses. Because just at that instantaneous reaction to an instruction is so valuable, because of any kind of hesitation, it leaves open not only that you'll miss the opportunity the Lord's provided, but that even if you don't miss it, you've suddenly had time to think, you know, what if, and you know, what if I don't do this right? Doubt comes in, unbelief can come in, and snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. Snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. You know, the Lord's victory is set up and assured. All you had to do is do what you're told, and you fail to do that, and unbelief and the cares of the world, entanglements of this life.
You know, we look at the reality of the situation. I was looking at the reality situation. I like war movies. And, you know, watching Lone Survivor. And you see a few times where the guy, a few people lay down their lives for their brothers. And, you know, at the end of this thing, a group of people laid down their lives for just one person they didn't even know. But it was a very awesome movie. But man, if we looked, when we see bullets, when we see natural bullets coming out, and we see how real it is, when I'm watching this movie, you see how real in life and death this is. You know, how much more when we're talking about obedience unto Christ for salvation of, for people's souls. You know, that's eternal. And if we're not active, you know, if we're not active in the Lord, I mean, that could cost someone else. If we're not obedient unto the Spirit, that could cost someone else. Just as you were saying, John, if you didn't go and fly and drop the ammo when it needed, or called for an evac, or the air support that was needed there, people died. I mean, it's the same sense, but how much more, when you really come to reality, how much more when it comes to the South, when you're talking about souls? Yeah. Not just this carnal life now, but everlasting.
right now we're fighting for souls. That's what we should be doing.
Right.
And do we want to see people go to hell? I don't think we do. If you don't want them to go to hell, and the Holy Spirit moves on you to say something or do something for somebody, do it. Don't think about it. Just do it. And that's often the case. He'll lead and he'll guide you. You don't have to think about it. He'll give you the words to say or the actions to do. He just gives it to you. Just be willing to be used.
Amen, John.
Well, that was this example we have. It was Jesus, right? Jesus sweating the details?
No.
He's doing what the Father told him to do and saying what the Father gave him to say to the people he was giving them to do it to.
Right.
So, he had a very simple existence. I do what the Father has given me to do. I say what the Father has given me to say. If the main difference between Jesus' walk and our walk is we spent the first, I don't know how many, you pick a number that's appropriate for you, 20, 30 years of our lives convinced of how important we were. And
65.
I'm trying not to hit the person to my right. That's okay.
John, you should come down more often.
To provoke him.
This, love being around you two guys.
Professional at.
Yes.
Jesus didn't operate out of pride. He operated in the confidence that what the Father gave him to do, he was able to do.
He operated out of humility all the time.
It's always humility because it wasn't his thing. He was doing the Father's thing. That's a humble place to be. Voice is coming apart as we speak. Y'all take it so I try and get this thing back. Say something. Follow my line.
You had a line?
You do see how effective Jesus was, and we can be as effective if we will solely serve the Lord and be about his business.
Well, he gives us the power not only to do his works, but even greater works than he did. I mean, his ministry was basically 3 years. How many years of ministry can we do? And you saw Peter was able to do even greater works than Christ did. He would walk by people and they would be healed, just by simply by walking by. Just a shadow touching them, and they would be healed. We can connect with that power through the Holy Spirit to continue the work that Christ did. That's an awesome power. We're not defeated. We're soldiers. We have all the tools necessary to go forth and conquer. And we should go forth boldly. Not giving excuses, but go forth boldly into this world. And we can take back this country if we really wanted to, if we would just get out there and do it. I mean, there are lives out there that need to hear the gospel. We got to get out there and do it.
Amen, John.
Well, Davey says he understands about the voice. The wonderful thing about the voice, it comes and it goes. And sometimes you just hope you don't strangle to death in between times. The simplicity of our call to walk as Jesus also walked in, was it John chapter 2? Is that 1 John chapter 2? Those who say you abide in him shall also walk as he walked.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That means it's simple. Our calling is to do the same words that Jesus did. And the way he did it was, he did only those things the Father gave him to do.
He was obedient unto the Father.
He healed those the Father gave him to heal. He preached all, but all didn't receive.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get bound up about that. He knew he was going to get the one the Father gave him.
And that goes back for us not to be judges. You know, our job is to go out and minister the gospel.
Right. You're not ground inspector either.
No. Where the seed falls, the seed falls.
Yep. It's hard, just hard to keep the old focus going on that, especially when we're so easily distracted. And I actually, when I was giving Philip a hard time about it, I don't have any real military experience, but I did play Call of Duty quite a bit. I was going to say something about The Walking Dead, but I figured there perhaps may not be quite as many that could relate to that one, so I left it with the Call of Duty reference. The simplicity of this whole thing is something people get tangled up by, because our carnality, our flesh, our old man wants to have had to overcome something to be able to justify itself and say, see, I am worthy. And the whole point of this thing is, you can't be worthy, you're not worthy, you're never going to be worthy unless you are worthy by receiving Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus was worthy, and that's the only one that matters. Until you can accept that, and that is the offense of the gospel. I don't know if this is a universal offense, but that's definitely an offense of the gospel. It offends the flesh. It offends the old man. The old man, always the lust of the flesh, is to justify itself before God. To justify itself before God. See these things I did, this justified me. I'm righteous because of this, or I'm forgivable because of this. And it's
all iniquity.
That is our default position. That is where we keep going back to. Were it not for the grace of God and the mercy and the availability of his people that he's placed over you, who keep backing you back into play, it takes just as the simplicity of the gospel and the call of us to serve Jesus, serve God as Jesus did, is simple. The simplicity of where we are without him, and when our minds get snared and tangled with the affairs of this world, this life, when we get,
and let me tell you, that's painful.
Yeah.
And when we get the simplicity of the gospel, it's like getting life again. It's like and grabbing on just that simplicity is like my yoke, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. I mean, it's just a joy.
Amen. We are worthy because of what he did, not what we do. We're simply there to obey.
And people will start giving themselves away and speaking, because they think they've been following what they're supposed to be doing, A to B to C to D, just one thing to the next thing. And when he sat down, they start justifying themselves that this isn't fair. I've been doing everything that I've been supposed to do. And it's like, you missed the whole point, man.
Yeah, that's right.
You missed the whole point. You're just because of Jesus.
Amen.
You're worthy Amen. Because of Jesus.
Amen.
And, you think you may have been doing, you may or may not have been doing it correctly. In some cases, it's not even within my sphere of knowledge base to determine whether you've been getting done right or not. All I know is you got to that end point somehow. And that end point was... There was something not right going on in there along the way to get you to that end point. So, again, it's simple. The default position is justification, and the flesh and justification. The gospel is simple. It's Jesus alone is worthy.
Amen.
And it's easy to please the Lord. All you got to do is the same thing Jesus did.
Wait.
Walk in the power, walk in the confidence, walk in the humility that Jesus walked in. And it's the Lord meet you. Yeah, Jesus had everything he needed for every situation. He lacked nothing, right?
Amen.
He said, we can have more than that. I don't know how much sweeter it can get.
It says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
And the grace. And that's all about what he has done and what he's able to do. How much sweeter can that be?
Beautiful right. thing.
Say goodbye, everybody. It's time to wind it out. We are at the end of another hour of truth. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. God bless all.
Yeah, there you go. We'll see you back here next time for another hour of truth, Lord willing. Things being the way they are. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.